Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, September 8th, Missions Monday. Today our mission is Mountain Brook Baptist Church. Yesterday we celebrated so much the renewal of our facility and all the ways that God has graciously worked among us. And so to begin, I want to pray over you a blessing from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Our passages today are Isaiah chapter 17, verses 4 through 11. Acts 7, 1 through 8, and from the Psalms, number 58, verses 10 and 11. How have you been enjoying being in the book of Isaiah? Has it been a little too disjointed, or are you learning the rhythms of Isaiah? There's lots of judgment, but also lots of hope and visions of the Messiah who is to come. In today's passage, it's Isaiah 17, starting in verse 4. It's talking about Israel and the glory of Jacob and how it will be destroyed. There is some language of repentance here, but not everyone repents. And then there's this reminder of the futility of self-reliance, which is something I think all of us need to hear. And in that day, the glory of Jacob will be brought low, and the fat of his flesh will grow lean. And it shall be as when the reaper gathers standing grain, and his arm harvests the ears, and as when one gleans the ears of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Gleanings will be left in it, and when an olive tree is beaten, two or three berries in the top of the highest bough, four or five of the branches of the fruit tree, declares the Lord God of Israel. In that day, man will look to his Maker, and his eyes will look on the Holy One of Israel. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands, and he will not look at what his own fingers have made, either the Asherim or the altars of incense. In that day, their strong cities will be like the deserted places of the wooden heights and the hilltops, which they deserted because of the children of Israel, and there will be desolation. For you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not remembered the rock of your refuge. Therefore, though you plant pleasant plants and sow the vine, branch of a stranger, though you make them grow in that day that you plant them, and make them blossom in the morning that you sow, yet the harvest will flee away in the day of grief and incurable pain. Ah, the thunder of many peoples, they thunder like the thundering of the sea. Ah, the roar of nations, they roar like the roarings of mighty waters. The nations roar like the roarings of mighty waters, but he will rebuke them, and they will flee far away. Chased like chaff on the mountains before the wind and whirling dust before the storm. At evening time, behold, terror. Before morning, they are no more. This is the portion of those who loot us, and the lot of those who plunder us. Yikes! This passage reminds us of the danger of forgetting our God, as it says in verse 10, the God of our salvation. So let us take a minute just to reclaim, Lord, you have saved us. This is such an awesome gift and privilege. Thank you, Lord. And then they have also forgotten the rock of their refuge. And so let us proclaim, Lord, you are our rock. Whatever we face today, we know that we can find our refuge in you. And you are a strong tower You are a perfect hiding place. Our second passage is Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. Have I mentioned that I love the book of Acts? Okay, maybe a couple of times. I love all the stories, and today is just the same. It's about Simon the magician and how he believes, but it's a messy story. So I want to share it with you and ask that the Lord would continue to open our hearts to his word. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Oh my goodness, this passage has so much to think about. One thing that I think is a relief for all of us is that sanctification is a process. Simon had received the Lord, but he was confused and he wanted to make it about himself. I read an article in the Alabama Baptist this past week about, has ministry become your idol? And one of the ways that we see that ministry is an idol is that, number four, quote, "You continually think about the next step on the ladder of ministry success." I think Simon was thinking that when he wanted the power to put his hands on someone and they receive the Holy Spirit. He's like, "Let me have that. Let me give you money for that." Idols work that way, the article says. They never fully satisfy and they leave you longing for more. Another interesting point in the article was when ministry has become an idol, it says you tend to talk more about your ministry than about your Lord. The conversation you do have about the Lord are more perfunctory than personal, more job-related than Jesus-focused. And so even if we're not in ministry, when we talk about the Lord, is it just like what we've done, or as Simon, like, "Oh, I want to do these great miracles like everyone else," or is it more focused on what Jesus has done for us and the fact that we, by his grace, which is beautiful, are accepted into his fold and he uses weak and dependent people for his glory. Finally, we'll read from Psalm 58, verses 10 and 11. "The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Sometimes we want to be the judge. Sometimes we want to see the judgment in our own timing. But this psalm reminds us that God is judge, and he will judge. And in that day, we will be able to rejoice and see that justice has prevailed. Will you pray with me? Father, we lift our hearts to you on this Monday as we start a new work week, as we enter into a new day, a new opportunity to make choices to honor you. We thank you that you don't give up on us. And we pray, Lord, that you would be our rock of refuge and that we would contemplate and rejoice in our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Acts and for the story of Simon. Thank you, Lord, for his prayer, and we pray alongside him in repentance from the wickedness in our hearts and asking, Lord, that you would forgive us and restore us. And we thank you for the Psalms and those situations in our lives where we see wicked prevailing. We can know with confidence that you are watching and that your kingdom will come and your will be done. And we thank you and praise you, and we look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, our brother, our friend, our confidant, our ever-present help in times of need, the one who grieves with us, and the one who is the forerunner, the firstborn of all creation, the resurrection and the life. In him, we have the light of the world. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.